Hey everybody, welcome to Little Monsters Movie Podcast.
Evening group.
I'm Dino.
Ted.
Oh my god, and today we're going to talk about The Return of the Living Dead, 1985. Right. And it's the 25th anniversary.
Right.
And
go ahead.
It takes place July 4th weekend.
Which is why we picked it.
Yes, so it all works perfectly together.
Mm-hmm.
And man, my thoughts really quick about this movie, Ted. I forget how great it is.
It is.
I mean, so of course, I know any horror fan probably has seen it. Zombie right. fan has seen it. But for the people who haven't seen it, man, this has got so many great one-liners,
mm-hmm.
lines, effects. Acting, yeah. effects. Oh. Well, I mean, effects alone, I mean, we'll get into that and
right.
stuff. But from beginning to end, the way they act, especially mm-hmm. Frank... The old guy at UNITA Medical Supply, his overacting in every line he's going, I wish I could play.
I think that would be us. This would be us. If it wouldn't
oh
be
God.
Night of the Living Dead. It wouldn't be Dawn of the Dead hiding. We'd all be freaking out. Oh, Jesus Christ! Oh,
yes, that's exactly how it was.
What did he do in the movie? Because that's what's cool about this movie is it acknowledges... the fact that there was a Night of the Living Dead movie.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
It's kind of like how the film sort of starts out. It says, you know, these events are real. They actually happen. Because the names have been kept.
Yes. like, everything's real.
Say the names have been changed. The names are real.
Oh, my God. But yeah, that camaraderie with everybody in here is great. Okay,
mm-hmm.
First of all, I could say that. Every character is great.
And you got a mix of old school actors and
yes.
like fresh-faced you know, kids.
It's almost like the director told, like, that Frank, the older guy, who's I would think a good actor in most
yeah,
movies.
Yeah.
He must have told him, just act as bizarre and scream and everything as much as you can. Because that's what goes on in this.
Right.
And Ted, it was just great.
It is. It's
Oh my God.
I'm not a huge, huge, huge zombie fan. I know it's very popular these days. You got Walking Dead, you got World War Z, which I didn't even see. I haven't watched anything past season one of Walking Dead. I haven't watched.
You didn't miss nothing World War Z, but...
Well, yeah, it's just very popular right now.
Right, right.
And it's not even my favorite kind of horror genre, but I gotta say, out of every zombie movie I've ever seen, that includes Mr. Romero's movies,
mm-hmm.
I like this one the best.
Oh my God.
It's got a good mix of horror, it's got a good mix of comedy, it's got cool effects, it's just, like we were all just saying, it's like a quintessential
oh.
80s movie, right smack dab in the middle of the
yes.
decade.
Yes.
Middle of the year, middle of the decade.
80s,
and
yes.
The little backstory on this movie was directed by Dan O'Bannon, who hadn't really directed anything really before, but he's
mm-hmm.
big in the writing. I mean, he's written a lot of our favorite movies. He's had a hand in writing Alien, the original Total Recall, tons of other movies. And so he's got a lot of credibility there. And the story was originally written by John Russo. John Russo and George Romero were writing partners.
Oh, John Russo?
John Russo. And
okay.
The John Russo. And,
I'm not sure why I never heard of him, but go ahead.
Well, this is the story of the movie. He's one of the producers of the movie.
Okay.
And he and George Romero were partners. They worked on Night of the Living Dead together and a couple of his other movies. They had a little falling out, whatever.
Tiff, a little tiff.
And legally, George Romero wasn't allowed to use the phrase Living Dead in any of his movies. That's why you never see it again.
Mm.
But John Russo was. So he kind of
okay.
wanted to make his own franchise of movies. He started off writing novels. He originally wrote a novel called Return of the Living Dead, which I think is still in print. You can probably still get your hands on it. I've never read it. What happened here, he wanted to get this movie made, and he originally wanted Tobe Hooper from Texas Chainsaw Massacre to make this movie.
Oh, okay.
And that kind of didn't pan out, and it eventually got offered to Dan O'Bannon. And Dan O'Bannon did it on the condition that he could completely rewrite it. He didn't want it to be anything like Romero's movies. Matter of fact, Day of the Dead came out 2 weeks after this movie. And this one got way more critical acclaim and box office than Romero's movie did.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a good thing he redid the movie, did
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, Tobe Hooper, I mean, it would probably still been a good movie, but a darker,
mm-hmm.
I would think, darker
yeah,
type of movie.
This comic edge,
I mean,
satire.
Yeah.
And
this goes above and beyond. Man.
So this movie is radically different from what John Russo wanted to do, and he has since written some other novels on it. But that's kind of how this movie came to be.
Yeah.
It took a little while for him to get it off the ground. And when he did, we got this work of art.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
In a lot of ways, a work of art.
Oh, without a doubt. And we'll get to it too. The zombies in here are just so. I mean, are they zombies? Cool. They're just different. I mean,
right. And this is the first movie that establishes the idea that they eat brains. We all say that, you know, brains, more brains, and it's this movie that established that.
Yes. And these zombies are, I guess, you know, most of you guys know this. I mean, these zombies are smart. I mean, they're telling. We'll get to it.
Yeah, there's a little running joke in it a couple times. But yeah, they move faster.
Oh, they're running, man.
And they have some thought process. As long as they've got a little bit of brain left, they've got some thought process. Yeah. They speak.
Yes.
So this one is very different from Romero's movies, even though it uses that phrase, living dead.
Yeah, I mean... what they did in the movie, I mean, they put a lot of effort into, like, Tarman. I mean, he's the zombie in the movie.
Right.
There's a couple other ones that they really made up in the scenes, but overall, some of them are just guys. They just slapped on a little bit of makeup,
latex, and off they go. Because they're way in the background, you don't see them.
You can see the skin though. I mean, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it really doesn't.
This movie's got everything. It's got some dude with, like, no legs, a little midget zombie, whatever.
Ted, that's one of my favorite parts of the movie. And you can actually have a nightmare of this, too, because that was scary as hell. Oh, he shoots him?
Yeah.
And he goes, ah! Because he was eating a brain, you know, he's eating a brain. And then he plops his body up, thinking that, you know, the late... But yeah, I think the legs were—they were making like it seem like they were cut off or something. But he just starts running. It's a little midget guy running around. Yeah. He's a zombie.
There's scary. A little mess around him. I think I was
my God.
Looking up some info about it. Yeah, that guy had been in other movies before, never a starring role like that.
Right.
But, I shouldn't say
starring role. No, but
a feature role.
A big part of the movie because that
memorable part.
That few seconds was
And you got a punk rocker chick who's naked almost the entire movie.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about the hairdo, but I mean she's. From the neck down is
This movie we get a lot more
va-va-va-voom.
We get a lot more gory. Brains are being eaten and oozing out, and they're cutting the bodies and stuff. And you get a naked punker chick. She's we'll get to it, but
what a motley crew. I mean, you got Breckies, you got the Breakfast Club suit tie wearing.
You got the punker with the earring from hair to hair. That would have been me. Angst, a lot of angst.
Yeah, whose name is Suicide?
Suicide and
and you're gonna
trash
because I don't trash is the girl. I'm gonna try to remember all their names. And I've seen this movie before, but
remember all the groups' names, but I do know the main characters.
I think it's probably been close to like 10 years since I've watched it. It's just not one of the movies that I revisited much. But now that I've watched it,
God.
I'm older now. My tastes have kind of solidified, and I know what I like, and I like a lot of this kind of effects and stuff like that. And we've been doing some of these movies, these 80s kind of horror comedy movies.
And you forget how good... I mean, I knew this movie was good, but going back and recently watching it again, I mean, it's just... My God,
it's got the perfect mix.
You talk cult classic, that's what this is, man.
It's got enough comedy, it's got enough scares, and... again, like I said, I love how it establishes at the beginning that Night of the Living Dead really happened. And they even give like a little explanation as to what happened, whereas in the original movie, we don't know what happened.
Right.
So it starts off at the medical supplies.
Unita Medical Supply.
Right. You need it, we got it.
Yeah, you need. I like the name. I mean, it's kind of, you know, but it's just they say a scary looking building later on, but I don't ask.
Just a warehouse.
Just a warehouse,
right. And it's run by this guy named Bert. I forgot the actor's name. I know his name's Clue something. But if you were alive from like the 50s to the 80s, you saw him in every single TV show that ever got made.
Right.
If you look at his credits, he's been in everything. Been in movies too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's even commented that this is the one thing he gets, known for out on the street. You know, kids know this movie. So, but he's a well-established actor. And who works for him is this fellow named Bert. Who, if you've seen the movie, he's our guy.
Bert
from,
or Frank? Bert's
Frank,
the owner.
Frank, I'm sorry.
Frank's
I said Bert twice.
The guy who works for
Frank
him.
Frank works for Bert.
And who works for Frank is a younger kid named Freddy.
Freddy, new guy they brought.
Yeah,
up.
He like a dumb, hick, kind of sporty, kind of whatever you want
to
call
him. He
always
knows where there's a party.
Yeah, and, man, you know what I'm saying?
But I like Freddy. And,
But he's real enthralled with this warehouse.
Yeah, he seems like he's loving his job. Frank is our guy from Poltergeist. You know, you just move the headstones guy. Craig T. Nelson's boss in that movie. So you might remember him when you see him.
Yeah.
Totally different style of acting in this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. The director, he told them to go nuts. Yeah, act as silly as you can, as campy as you can, and screaming, a lot of screaming, like over, oh my God, what's going on? Overemphasizing everything. Like I said, I wish I can play him saying these lines, but we'll get it across the best we can.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this the medical supplies warehouse, they've got, what do they got? He starts showing them skeletons.
Right, because some school needs a skeleton. What do you say? Female, adult, perfect teeth.
Right.
He even makes the comment, where are you getting all these skeletons?
Oh, he goes, he goes they got an international treaty of skeletons.
We get them from India.
From India, yeah, they get from
all
India.
All skeletons come from India.
Yeah. And I love how they start packing them in this big...
huge crate!
Yeah, I mean, you know how much shipping would cost nowadays?
Right.
You know what I mean?
I guess, you know, because it's in the... You could tell it's a fake skeleton, but in the movie it's supposed to be a real skeleton.
Right, but
all the hay and
but,
the bubble.
Well, no, he didn't put a hole. That's the funny part of it. He just takes a little. He throws hay in there.
Excelsior.
Puts the Excelsior. That's what he says. And then he puts the bubbles, the
foam peanuts
on top. And he just takes this box which they had set, you know, director set, put that there for when it's ready to be dumped in. Yeah. And it just goes like this. I mean, that skeleton's going to be knocking all around that crate and everything.
And they got other cool stuff. He shows them the halved dog. The dogs
dissected dogs right in half.
Dogs for veterinary school. And that's going to come back into the movie later on. And I like what they do here. It's that it also affects animals, too. Right. Whereas in the other movies, I don't think you saw where it affected animals.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I recall, anyway.
Right, right.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think I think you're right.
At least in the classic
anything dead
right.
came back to life. Even the butterflies on the wall were like flickering. And so anything dead, this movie, we'll let you know how it happens, comes to life. And
they also provide cadavers to medical schools.
Yes.
So he takes them in the freezer and there's a cadaver there. And I love it, the hooks are just like in the head.
Yeah, this is where they... that's where they'd hold him. Yeah,
right,
just clamp him by the ears and hold his whole body just hanging
and
there.
Frank,
you know,
cuts a little joke there. He's like, how many do you usually have? He's like, well, it's the holiday weekend. We'll get a shipment in on Monday. He's like, it's like the restaurant business. You don't want your stock to lose its freshness.
It is so funny,
that establishes
man.
The characters. And then they're sitting in the office. And... Yeah. Excuse me. Wait for me to take a drink.
His mouth gets dry.
Yeah.
He's got dry mouth syndrome.
I do. I got syndrome.
Anyways.
So they're sitting in there and Freddie asks him, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen? And that's when he goes like, yeah, have you ever seen that movie Night of the Living Dead?
All right.
And he's like, you know, and the kid's like, yeah, I saw that movie. Yeah, it was great. You know, the corpses coming alive. He was like, did you know that was based on a true story? And that just kind of freaks him out. and he starts explaining how it happened at a VA hospital in, where did he say, Pittsburgh, I think.
Yeah.
And some kind of chemical that the government was using to spray on marijuana got loose. And got, you know, basically, you know, it got into the morgue and it made these corpses, you know, come alive.
Yeah, and kind of beating around the bush about how all this happened. Because I don't think he really understands. It's just a story passed down.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right. And, well, this is how it was told to him.
Anyway. Right, right.
And, you know, he says there's the usual army F-up. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, when the transportation department went to go send those things to, it was the Darrow Chemical Company.
Yeah.
Who actually, you know, produced this chemical that caused this to happen.
Toxic.
All these bodies were encased in these big tin, not tin,
drums.
Hydraulically, sealed drums.
Right? Yeah, yeah. With the little glass window on the top
right,
of it.
So you can see the body. It's cool.
Yeah.
And he said they sent them here by mistake, and they've been down in the basement ever since. And he's like, you want to go see them? And that's the best. Down in the corpse.
And he was freaked out about the corpse hanging in the freezer, but he was all amped up to go and
see these.
So...
I gotta admit, I'd be right there. Yeah, I want to see him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they do cut to the big group of punkers and
Freddy's friends.
Yeah, Freddy's
friends. Girlfriend and the group that they kind of hang out.
Yeah, who's Tina is his girlfriend, who's part
she's
of
a very preppy little girl.
Yeah, and they're just all back and forth. They got the big boom box, you know, typical 80s. You know, looking for trouble. And
a lot of cool songs in this movie too. I think over the years, like on video releases, they've edited some of the music and whatnot, but I remember, probably like you too, I didn't see this in the theater. Mm-hmm. I caught this like on cable, late night cable. My right. parents are sleeping. It's like Friday night, and I got to stay up late and watch TV.
Yep.
And, you know, this come on. So mm-hmm. that's kind of like what I remember watching it at home on the old tube TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, I remember, yeah, his friends are all walking the street. Oh, I want a party. Where's a party? And yeah, there's what's his name? Chuck. He's kind of like the smooth dressed one in the suit, like the 80s kind of suit.
I don't know the girl.
Casey was the girl that okay. he kind of had the hots for. She's
and know, she didn't want nothing hair. To do with him. She did no, not she can't like stand him. Yeah.
And then there's Trash, the punk girl who's obsessed with death.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. And then there's two other fellas. There's
the tombstone
black scene guy with like the Jerry Curl, and not Jerry Curl. He got long hair. I think yeah. he was Spider.
What's he looks like? Jane. Who's he look like?
I can't.
Rick James. He looks like Rick James.
And I've seen him before. There's 100 people you've seen this movie that you know you've seen before. Right. I think he might have been in one of the Jason movies. But he's been in a ton of stuff, and I remember him.
Yeah.
And then there's another fellow with the mohawk, and I think his name was Scud or Scuzz or something.
Right.
It's hard to keep. And
yeah.
So they're looking for a party, and Tina's going to go meet Freddy after he gets off work. It's like 7:30 at night.
They got to go pick him up.
He gets off at 10, and you know they want, he's like, Freddy, let's go. Freddy always knows where there's a party.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, they're going to do that, and they're going to hook up with a friend with a car pretty soon. And but then I think we go back to Freddy and Frank.
Right.
And he takes him down to look at these drums.
Yes.
And it looks like there's about 5-6 of them, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And they make mention, watch that third step. It's a bitch.
Yeah.
And they get downstairs and in the cellar of this basement.
Meanwhile, the whole time, just how Frank's talking, you guys will die laughing. I mean, it's just great.
I know. He's just playing it up, hamming it
up. Oh, and when he flips up that lid and they show the...
Yeah, the body's all...
It's like, you know, through the glass.
And it's a real cool, you know, Mac up. And,
but I love how he sprays it down with Windex, takes a whole roll of paper towels and wipes it off. Like, oh, here, I'll clean this up like this, you know.
Right.
And this is kind of the intro to the movie that he... Right. Frank, or not Freddy, Frank,
Freddy
but Frank.
Says, you know, aren't you afraid these things will, you know, leak or, you know, anything like
that? He goes, no, this is military grade. This
Army
is
engineering!
Boom!
Right. And then, mist comes out. You see the body inside the thing starting to melt. This is who's going to become the Tar Man, I believe.
Yes.
And,
meanwhile, Freddy, Frank and Freddy just fall down to the ground.
They get knocked out.
Yeah.
This all happens before the credits.
Oh, yeah. All right? This is when the credits start going and rolling. Exactly. You know? The movie started.
The credits now happen. All right? How many movies have all this crap happening and then the credits happen?
Yes.
See, this movie's awesome. And you see all that icky, whatever was mist, whatever junk was in that drum getting sucked up into during the credits.
Yeah.
Sucked up into the ventilation.
Right.
And going throughout, you know, the rest of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's awesome, man.
Oh, I know. And this is what's going to end up, you know, bringing the other dead things alive. Because they show it going into the freezer where the corpse, the meat corpse is hanging. And there's
this is what gets
the dogs, the butterflies, all of it's going to wake up.
Yeah, this is what gets everybody in the warehouse.
Yes.
Zombified.
It's going to spread. It's going to spread.
And they're showing the cadaver and they're shaking.
Oh, I know.
And
it's awesome. It's got really cool music playing over it, too. And some, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Such cool.
It's great.
What a great intro. And then what comes up next here? That's when we meet the, we get introduced to the army guy.
The guy in charge.
He doesn't play a huge role in
it.
This is where we find out that the military, for a long time, have been looking for these drums.
Yeah.
Now this is like over, California.
Yeah. Because they're always going Eastern time, Pacific time, right. Pops up on there. And then this guy.
Well, and this movie, by the way, takes place in Kentucky. Just so you know.
Right, yeah.
They
have Louisville.
Louisville, and they have punk rockers in Kentucky.
Yeah. You don't see much else, and I don't think until a little bit later in the movie, towards the end, you don't see really anything
that really
else.
Gives it away.
Just Kentucky. These guys, but yeah, but this military guy.
If it was a Rob Zombie movie, it would.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But this military guy's he's a scuzz, man. He's just a mean.
Yeah, he's pretty lifeless. He comes in, and the wife asks him,
"I made your favorite pork chops.
Had them for lunch. Right? How was your day? Usual crap." Which is like what I say when I come home from work every day. Usual crap.
Yeah, pretty much.
He goes into like his little den, and we find out that he has to report his whereabouts. Like the intelligence, whatever, has to be able to... Basically, his superiors have to be able to get to him anytime.
Yeah.
wherever he's at, 24 hours a day, in case they locate these drums for the Darrow Chemical Company.
Yeah, all these years later, they're still...
Right.
And it's just it's a computer laptop kind of thing in behind a little cabinet.
Basically, yeah, a little phone hooked up to it. It's nothing...
nothing real like, fancy.
1600, nope, make that 1601. I'll be home all night. And he comes back out, and his wife's, lighting the candles. They're going to have a nice dinner of something that he had for lunch. And typical wife, she starts giving him crap.
Oh, my God.
It's his job. He has to, get on... She's complaining about the computer, like it messes with her stove. Wow.
The microwaves.
The microwaves.
Don't ask me how the microwaves would mess with
your
stove.
How do the microwaves upset with like an electric or a gas stove? If you had a microwave oven, how's the microwave going to mess up your microwave?
Yeah, this couple's just, they're the bickering kind of couple. Right.
She's giving him grief. It's his job. And he even says it. It's my job. You know that. There's nothing I can do about it. And I think for the most part, that's kind of the last time we see him. But it establishes the fact that the army is looking for these things.
Right.
And they won't find out where they are.
Yeah. Then they go to the scene. They pop right back to all the group of kids.
Oh, yeah. They got their buddy Suicide with them.
Oh, yeah. He's riding in the convertible, beat-up car.
It's got, like, the names of every Sex Pistols song spray painted on it.
Oh, yeah. I love it,
man.
And
this dude, I mean...
He's thrashing. He's pissed.
It's not a mohawk. I mean, his head's shaved, like, where it's an X in the back. Like, he's a hardcore X-Men.
And, yeah, kind of.
Like, he's got an ear pierced with, like, a big chain. And it's not going to his nose. It's going to, like, his lip.
Remember
his lip.
I don't know if you remember in the '80s they had the chain earrings where it wouldn't clip on. It would there was a little thing that it would like just clip. You didn't actually have to have your lip pierced.
I don't remember people putting them to their lips. I remember like to the nose.
Yeah, but you didn't have to have it pierced on your nose or your lip. It would just like kinda go
on.
That's
probably what I don't know, this dude's hardcore. I mean he's got his leather, his chains, his spikes, and he's got
because I had my earrings all the way down my ears.
You did?
I did, yeah. I had at least five of them in one ear. Yes, I did.
Really?
From the top of the earlobe all the way down to the bottom.
Dang, I had like one in eighth grade and I took it out because I felt like a sissy.
Oh my God. That was more hardcore, man.
That was your hardcore days?
But anyways.
Was it high school?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right at the end, right after.
Dang.
So, But what do? They,
well, they say Freddy gets off at 10.
And they're pissed off.
I'm not driving around for 2 hours. Or I'm not waiting here for 2 hours. And the guy says, we could drive around. You got gas money? You give me gas. Hello. He turns around and starts whooping the guy's butt while the car's driving. But I still find it funny that
Tina
is with...
Right, these
she
people.
She does not look like she would fit in. Freddy doesn't necessarily look like he would fit in with these people.
Right.
It just goes to show, people from different
I was like that.
Breakfast Club, they can all come together and be friends.
Yeah, I hung out with everybody.
As long as it's not inside the confines of the school building.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of the school, we can all do it.
But I like how when they do pull up and they look at that warehouse, they go, oh, what a hideous place. And then the suicide girl...
Trash.
She goes, man, that's cool. That's
I like it. It makes a statement.
It makes a statement. Yeah.
It's just a warehouse.
Yeah.
And then they see that there's a cemetery right next door. And they're like...
Resurrection Cemetery.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed that. And I was like, we could fool around in there for a while.
So
they pull right up to it. Because before they were talking about like where they could hang out. Like, we could go to the park. Oh, the cops said they'd shoot us if we went to the park again.
Oh, my God. And,
then you go
to the cemetery.
You got the jar guy. I ain't looking to get shot tonight. And, he just takes a crowbar or whatever, just busts open the door. And they just, mosey on into the cemetery. And you flip on the boom box. And,
it's kind of cool that it's set up like that because it's this huge gate. Of course, it says Resurrection Cemetery on the top. But then the wall that surrounds it, I mean, it's like, it's closed off.
Right, you can't see anything
so
in there.
If they wouldn't open that up, maybe those zombies would have stayed stuck in there. But anyway,
you get enough of them, they bust their way through.
Yeah, that's true.
And mass, that's what happens. But so that's where they're going to be, and hijinks are going to ensue in there.
We'll talk about
that. The naked kind.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Poor girl, man. It had to be naked, like, the whole movie.
She didn't care. That was her job. Anyways, yeah.
I didn't care
we either. Go back to the warehouse. And
Frank and Freddy kind of wake up coughing, hacking.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, man, I'm sick, man. Yeah. And they look in the barrel.
What was it?
They look in the barrel and it's gone. Tarman's gone.
Yeah, whatever's
which,
there,
which is
gone.
Strange because they smell brains, but yet they didn't. He didn't. Tarman didn't get them, Frank or Freddy. You think when he fell out, he would have chomped and had a meal.
What we
forget. But maybe not.
We forget they're technically dead now. I'm trying to say that soft so you don't hear it.
Oh. Okay. Anyways, yeah, but, they're all that. And when they do eventually make it up, he goes, man, the smell. Yeah, oh, the smell.
Reminds me of you. He grabs a can of Lysol.
He goes, let me get some deodorant sprayed
some
around
deodorizer.
Here. Because he's got to call the boss, Bert, and he doesn't want
to
get
him. Well, they're trying to figure out what to do first. They're like, you know, what do we do? Should we call the cops? No, no, you don't want the cops here. Well, you know, what about the number that was on the drum? Because there was a number on the drum in case of emergency call. Yeah. And it was an army.
Military.
Number. You don't want the army here. And then probably like one of my favorite parts is they start hearing like a dog.
Yeah.
And they can't figure out what it is at first, and then they walk around.
It's that dissected dog. Dogs
laying on the floor.
They knocked it over, and you could see all the intestines and organs and brains because it's sliced right down
and
the middle.
And they're freaking out, what do we do? Oh my God, we're going to kill it. And he grabs a crutch and starts beating the snot.
With a wooden crutch.
We're going to kill it.
That was so funny.
And then the door starts, the door where the cadavers, the freezer door starts.
Oh, yeah,
shaking.
Everything starts happening at the same time.
Oh, yeah, and butterflies, pinned butterflies on the board, you just see them waggling.
So they're quickly figuring out that, oh, my God.
They lock the freezer door.
And Frank's just freaking out, man.
Oh,
it's
I know. Like, oh, we got it all over us.
Oh, my God, what's going on?
So they go in the office trying to figure out what's going on, and I just got to throw up all over the place. Like, every few scenes, you see, like, an eye chart. And I love when you go in the office, there's an eye chart, and it just kind of caught my eye for a second.
Me
and
too,
it starts
yeah.
with a B on top, and then a U, and an R, and a T, I, S. And it basically says Bert is a slave driver, and the letters get smaller and smaller, and it says something else, but I couldn't see it. But, you know,
stuff,
if you guys
stuff
zoom in,
you,
there's probably there.
Yeah, stuff Easter you pick eggs. Out, Easter eggs, yeah.
Yeah.
Little things you would pick up on, yeah.
So, he finally says, you know... We're going to call the boss. And, you know, he calls. And
I love how he dials. He puts the phone down. And he's...
Got to take a sip of coffee.
Yeah, and he's wiping himself off. And then
Bert, we have a problem.
We have a problem. You might want to come down here. Meanwhile, Freddy's also... He's easy. And, you know, the makeup is getting, you know... Slowly, they're getting more pale and everything and stuff. And then we get to one of our better scenes in the cemetery.
Yeah.
Rick James is sitting next to suicide, the punker girl.
Or no, she's trash.
Trash, I'm sorry, not suicide.
Suicide's
the guy.
The chain.
Trash. And she's sitting back on the graveyard,
legs
spread wide.
Thighs.
And what did she say? She says...
Thinking about death.
Think about how I would want to die. The worst way to die. How I would want to die. I would want a bunch of old men... To just start
grabbing me, eating me alive. Little does she know.
Yes, and that's when she...
They would start by ripping off my clothes.
And she tears it off, and...
And don't you love the part, like, once she, like, rips off her blouse, and it was like, oh, look at how Trash is taking her clothes off again. Like, this happens all the time. Every weekend, Trash takes her clothes off.
She's always taking it off and getting naked. Yeah, and
like
so...
Like I said, you know,
tears
that
off.
All right, you're down.
And then she walks over. She tears that off. She's topless.
Yeah.
She walks over to a huge.
It's probably like a
mausoleum type thing or something.
You know, there's a casket inside this big stone.
Yeah,
thing.
And she gets up there and she starts dancing.
Yeah, ripping the leather.
They're lighting candles and flames, and they're dancing.
Yeah, come on, baby.
Yeah, take it. I mean, she's taking it all off.
Are you high on something?
She's pulling off the shorts and everything.
This girl just
sits
around and reads Edgar Allan Poe all day.
Yeah, she's
and on
totally,
Friday night, she
totally
just,
naked.
Yeah, except for these like little leg stockings.
Leggings.
And those pretty much stay on the rest of the movie, I think.
And they're dancing, so yeah, the big batteries in those boom boxes last a long time.
And yeah, they're going to town. They got road flares, you know, for some reason.
That's what it is, road flares.
They thought to bring road flares.
Yeah, for light, man.
And yeah, I guess so, light, makes sense. Yeah, you're right.
And then we pop back to the warehouse.
The warehouse, Bert shows up.
Yeah, and they're freaking out to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
And he's like, you know, what's going to happen? He's like, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You know, I'm going to get investigated by the government. I'm going to maybe go to jail. I'm going to get very famous. That's what's going to happen to me.
Well, this Bert is very serious. I mean, he's offsets the two other guys who are just dramatically overemphasizing everything. And,
well,
my God,
he ends up being
dying.
Like, you know, the hero of the movie, practically.
Pretty much.
He's the man.
Yeah, he's getting things done, man. He's. I like when, well, we'll get to the, you know, well.
You know, how are we going to do it? What are we going to do? Because that corpse... that dead body's still trying to come out of that freezer.
Yeah.
And
they're banging, and he's...
Yeah, it's not letting up.
No.
And, you know, they got to come up with a plan. They're like, well, you know, how'd they kill it in the movie?
And yeah, because Bert's kind of saying, okay, I understand. I think he's, you know, okay, something's in there. So
right.
He, you know.
Oh, yeah, because he says, are you sure that guy's dead?
Yeah.
And he's like, Frank, you know, open a door and see for yourself.
Yeah. So he puts the big pickaxe.
Yeah, because they figure, you know, got to destroy the brain.
Yeah, you got to. So he puts that in Frank's hand.
And I love it. He's like, I don't think I can do this.
And he puts Freddy next to him. You know,
Freddy's going to open the combination lock.
And right.
And steal those bodies.
And Bert's going to back up and hold on to the, yeah, you know, whatever's
happening. Bert's going to hold the building up in, yeah, the back. But it don't work.
But he is the boss, so he's making them to do it.
Yeah, he gives the combination to Freddy. And
you got to love when that body just comes running out. When the door opens,
the body comes right out and goes straight for Bert, who's hiding in the back.
Bypass Frank, bypass Freddy. And go straight for Bert.
Brains,
I smell your brains.
And he's like all sickly yellow.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, and like I said, like him, he looks like jaundiced and just, I mean.
I think that's the idea. That,
yeah, no rigor mortis to say. I mean, this dude's just totally flailing about like a real human.
Right,
I mean,
trying to take a chomp. Doesn't, you know. Frank and Freddy manage to get him down and get him like,
yeah, they're on
belly
top
down
of
on the ground, holding him down.
And Bert just takes that pickaxe and just... Boom! Right through like, its head, right through the brain.
I probably would have put it through somebody's hand or something.
Right? Oh, he just
right in
perfect
there.
Bullseye, but, yeah, right exactly. In the back of his head.
Beautiful shot.
But it didn't work.
The body's still moving.
Yeah.
Like, you sure you got the brain? It's like, yes, it's
straight through the brain. So he goes and gets a hacksaw,
surgical saw, And I just love Frank. He's like, oh Jesus!
Yeah, the whole time that's
oh, because it's so. I mean, it's not like any blood because, you know, the body's, you know, drained the blood.
Right.
But yeah, they just get real close up there. You watch them sawing it right through. But then that still don't work. The body gets up.
It starts running around.
Running around. Which way do I go? Which way do I go? And knocking crap off the shelves. I
mean, yeah, it's great, man. The scenes are just awesome. So and their facial expressions are just perfect, man.
God, what would you and I do?
I'd probably be running around like that, too.
God, I don't think I can take this.
Holy shit, get this. Oh, my God. Smack it.
Because they're not weak. It's not like, you know, Dawn of the Dead or something, you know, where you can just take a whack at them. You know,
yeah, no.
You can handle these suckers. They're fast.
They're fast. And they're strong. Smart and strong, yeah. But they do get it back down, and they tie it up.
Yeah. They tie it all up, and...
Then they start contemplating and thinking, what do we do now? And Bert takes charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, he cuts it all up into pieces.
Yeah, we're going to have to, I think he said, that, you know, we're going to have to burn it.
Right, like, that's what the only thing we could do.
You know, acid. You know, like maybe we can just cut up the pieces, burn it with acid. And sulfuric, what do they say, sulfuric acid, yeah, and some other kind that I'm not familiar with. But then...
Yeah, he says some weird, strange thing. I think it's a made-up word. After the acid,
I heard him say aqua or something.
Yeah, I bet you it's made up.
Yeah, it might be a real
thing. Okay, it could be, but yeah, he's throwing so many weird things off in this movie that who knows. But it's
just, like how there's a box in the background. I remember it said specimen worms.
Specimen worms.
But then Bert gets an idea. And no one realizes what he's doing. He climbs up this ladder, he's looking out the window because there's the cemetery next there, and there's the mortuary attached to the cemetery.
And he's friends with the mortuary.
Yeah, and I forgot what's the fellow's name? I can't remember the fellow's name. I can't remember his name.
Lou or... I don't know. Anyways.
But the fellow who runs the mortuary,
yeah,
does like the autopsy. Not the, you know, yeah, autopsy, yeah. Prepares the mortuary services.
Yeah.
He's like, he works late on Friday nights.
Maybe
if he's there, maybe, you know, he runs a crematorium. Maybe he can help us out.
Yeah.
So that's their idea. They're going to cut the body into pieces. Everything. You know, they even take the dogs, the butterfly, everything. Put them in hefty bags. And they're gonna schlep it on over to the mortuary.
See if he'll burn it up for him. Yeah.
And then we're back in the cemetery again.
Yeah.
Where this stupid suicide guy's got this trash girl just grinding up her naked body on him.
And he's just all mad at the world.
Man, you don't get it, man. This isn't a fashion show. This is me. And,
yeah.
I mean,
nobody gets me. Hey,
but you know, kudos for him because he can control himself. He's a real man.
Oh yeah, he threw that naked girl aside.
Get away from
he
me.
Said, "Quit disrespecting the dead."
Even though
he's pissed off at the world, let's not disrespect the dead. But
that's right.
Yeah.
They're angry at the world. And then we see This is
where love the preppy guy with the jacket.
Still it's trying like to
a,
hit on
the black and white squared up, you know, jacket.
Why does that guy his hair me of is Tom
just
Cruise?
So
in the face, he just reminds me of Tom Cruise.
Could be a little, yeah.
Maybe they related. I don't know.
But he's a geeky looking.
Yeah,
guy,
he's a geek. He's kind of like the Michael Anthony Hall sort of
kind of yeah, like yeah. That.
And, then we meet
the guy's name in the mortuary.
Yeah, the guy in the mortuary.
And he's a weird looking dude too.
Yeah, he's got this weird pipe he's smoking. He's listening to some
white
tunes.
Hair, got that fish face kind of, you know.
And he's been in a bunch of stuff too. You look that dude up. He's yeah. been, you know, a lot of stuff too. And he's working on a body for, you know, presumably a service. It looks like what he says he's doing is working out the rigor mortis, kind of using rods.
I think
and
putting
stuff
a. To, looks like putting the fluids in
maybe
them or
the
something,
formaldehyde
maybe.
Or yeah, something like that, whatever they put in the bodies.
Yeah,
you know, I remember like one time in high school, they would in homeroom, if you remember what homeroom is, they would give out little cards,
yeah,
like what you're interested in. This is like ninth grade,
right?
You know, I'm just a punk, and there was mortuary service on there.
Mortuary service,
I checked it. Sure enough, some school called my house talking to my parents saying, your son has expressed an interest in mortuary services.
Wow.
And they were talking about different schools that I could go to, and they looked at me like I, you know, it was crazy. But I was just being a punk.
Wow.
I'm like, no.
Who would have known?
I but now never I think about it. It's like, you know, it's probably a good business to get into. I mean, there's always going to be work.
My grandfather did that for a while.
Oh, did he?
He said the body sat straight up on the table as he was getting ready to prepare it because the rig. Well, no, not. I think he says after a certain time, like you'll see a muscle twitch or mm-hmm. something like that. Every now and then, a body will actually sit itself straight up because the muscles contract some.
Even though but, you know they do that, that's so weird.
Oh, that would scare the living so daylights out weird. Of me.
And, but then he got in trouble for stealing those bodies, and we still don't know where they are.
Okay, I should have been going along with you. I'm like going, wait a second, what is going
what,
on?
What did my grandpa do? What?
Usually I catch on, but I did not catch on that time.
Fast,
but yeah.
Too fast for me.
Oh,
kid.
Well. anyways.
So there's a bang at the door, but the dude's got his headphones on. He doesn't hear.
Yeah.
So, Frank Bert lets himself in.
Or Bert, yeah.
Yeah, and, hey, how you doing? Yeah, working late, huh?
Well, scared him first, and he pulled his gun out.
Yeah, he's got, like, he's a got German, what is it?
Something German black and white pistol on
yeah.
the side of his,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know.
He's, pew, like, nothing. Pulls it out on him. And, oh, okay. Yeah, it's something like, it looked like a German pistol, like ones you see in the old Nazi movies.
This guy's got some facial expressions, too, in this
oh,
movie, man.
Perfect.
I'm telling you, the way they act in this, mm-hmm. but he said he...
But he's even got a holster for it, like,
oh, yeah.
like down here. It's not like it was in his pocket, he's got a holster, he's ready.
He's in a full red suit kind of like thing, like shirt and pants,
yeah.
Like leisure suit kind of
thing. Right,
paper,
right, he's
like.
Got the big bloody apron,
oh,
you know,
my
leather
God.
Face bloody apron on.
But Bert brings in his two buddies and
well, yeah,
he's the mortician
small
guy.
Small talk at first. You know,
yeah.
He's like, hey, you think you could do me a favor?
And the mortician's like, oh, don't do that. Oh, I could get in trouble. No, come on. Right. It's illegal, you know.
Right. And they bring in this stretcher. And I like when they're carrying the stretcher through the cemetery.
Yeah.
The one girl, I think Casey, she's like, hey, is that Freddy?
Yeah.
You know, because she thinks
she catches him walking by.
And what's his name? Chuck or whatever says, no, that can't be Freddy because he wouldn't be carrying anything through a cemetery.
Right.
So, yeah, they got, and then all it is just a bunch of hefty bags with body parts in them.
Yep.
And at first, I think he says that they had weasels.
Weasels
like
in there,
that.
Yeah.
Rabies. With rabies.
Yeah.
With
and
rabies.
He's got to get rid of them and all that.
It's bad for my reputation, my business. And
yeah, I can't go care. That seems like a bad idea, the mortician's saying, to kill these. Even though they got
rabies,
you know, you shouldn't really kill them. But he's giving an excuse,
right.
You know what?
Then he pull out his pistol like he's going to, here, I'll put them out of their misery. First.
Right.
It won't work.
Then he tells me, can you keep a secret? Can
mm-hmm.
You got to promise me you keep a secret. Then he finally promises and then.
Yeah, he's like, at this point, I don't know.
Yeah. And he brings out.
The
bag. He opens the bag.
Up.
And it grabs the mortician by
the
leg.
And it's tearing his pants up.
Yeah.
It's going nuts. And then they,
which he'll cut off later on from the knee when they're figuring it out.
Yeah,
cuts his pant leg off. And he just
using this.
Yeah, from the knee down, he's
and
just got the pants.
I still love Frank. Even when he's holding the bag, oh my God. Like he's useless in a crisis.
Oh, they're just freaking
and,
out.
And he and Freddy are really starting to. They're
oh,
really
they're starting to look
ashy. Look,
yeah, dead.
So
they're
that,
dying.
That's happening again. And so yeah, the plan is to load these body parts up into into the
crematorium.
Crematorium. And
the furnace.
The furnace.
Yeah.
And you know, he keeps. I remember they're discussing. You know, how long does it take? You know, we can't have bones. We can't have.
It'll burn the bones. They're the easiest.
Right. He's like, I'll turn the heat up some more. And
he goes, but will it all burn? He goes, well, the heart's the hardest part. He goes, right. Why? And he's saying,
it's nothing but muscle. Because they figured the bones would be the hard part. He said, bones are easy.
Yeah, it's the muscle. The heart is the hardest part to burn. But he goes, but it'll burn. It'll burn, right? And he goes, yeah, it'll burn it to ashes. But he goes, but I don't want ashes either. I want the ashes burned.
No, no ashes.
Oh, my God.
Like where the ashes are going to come alive.
Yeah, flakes are going to, you know.
But that's the thing. You cut these things up into pieces like a worm.
Right.
And each individual piece is coming after you.
They're just freaked out. That's all.
And, you know.
Back to the graveyard.
Back in the graveyard again, right?
Back to the graveyard. Holy Moses!
Tina's a little concerned. Hey, what time is it? It's close to 10.
And Tina wants to go get Freddy. So she starts walking back to the warehouse.
None of these guys offer to escort her. It's dark. It's a cemetery. Bunch of D-bags. You're letting your buddy's girlfriend walk by herself in the dark.
Yep.
And
creepy-looking warehouse.
Yeah, so she's going to go knock on the door at the warehouse trying to get Freddy. That's probably a bad idea on her part.
Hmm.
So they burn the body parts.
Yeah. It's burning, you slowly start seeing the smoke and ashes and all that
going. This is what happens. The smoke and the ashes, everything that infected these dead bodies to rise again.
Yes.
It goes up through the smokestacks, and at that exact same moment, it starts raining.
Right.
So all that mixes together, and it's like acid rain coming down into the cemetery. Waking up all these dead bodies.
But I think that's the first time I ever heard acid rain, in this movie. Could be where they got it from, zombie apocalypse.
They probably get a nickel every time somebody says it now. And, you know, the kids, they're outside, they're like, oh, it's burning.
It's
actually burning their skin. And
doesn't turn them into zombie.
No.
But
no.
They do feel
it's only
going to
reanimate the dead.
Right.
You know, they're
I mean, they'll probably have cancer in a couple months. But,
yeah, yeah. Especially Trash, who's completely naked.
Yeah, she's sitting in the back of the car.
Oh, my body burns! Oh, you stupid
She's
ass.
In the back of the car naked. I think she eventually gets a shirt on, but she's still bottomless.
Right, you can still see
through the whole rest of the movie. I mean, she don't. Yeah, whatever.
And it's cool. You like see like a cutaway section
of the dirt
of the earth,
and grave,
and you
yeah.
can see all the poisoned water dripping down into someone's coffin.
Right.
And so you know
right
what's
onto
going down.
Shoes. You can
yeah,
see the
shoes,
black
wasn't
shoes.
It? Black dress
oh,
shoes.
Oh, it's great.
So yeah, they're done burning up the bodies, and there's just like char on the grill. And
he goes,
you know, they're like, you're dipping, I owe you a favor.
I owe you a big one. He goes, yes you do.
And,
yes you do.
Freddie and Frank, they're sitting on the bench and they're just feeling like DS, you know,
oh,
dog.
Yeah.
And
they're
I think we
can't
need to
take
get to
this
a murder
no
zero. Because they're saying, you know, that stuff, you know, we breathed it. It went right into our faces.
Right.
And so Bert's going to drop them at an emergency room. He's
yeah.
gonna, you know, take them back to the office and, you know, we'll get them over to the emergency room.
Yeah.
And, oh, one other important part. And as they were burning the bodies, because it comes into play later on in the movie, Frank says to Freddy, you know, they think this mortuary guy thinks he's a hotshot. I could operate that stupid, you know, furnace. Because that actually comes into play because, you know, Frank gets something to do with that.
Yeah. And the mortician calls paramedics and says these two guys are poisoned.
Right.
Because they don't know what else to say. They're, you know, toxic waste or something like that. But, yeah, it says they're poisoned, and they end up coming. But they do keep showing, they show them in that convertible top with the rain falling.
And the convertible top's up, but the rain is just eating through the top.
Yeah.
And,
I don't think they know where to go. They don't want to keep sitting here in the rain because the car wouldn't start.
Yeah, he couldn't get his car to start.
Yeah, couldn't get the car to start.
And,
so.
You know, he's frying out of gas. And Tina goes into...
the warehouse.
Yeah, she, you know, she's knocking on the door. She opens the door. It's open. She goes in there and sees, you know, a lot of things in disarray. And
as
she's
going down to the basement,
she notices Freddy's hat.
Yeah, right. And in that third step, they told her earlier that he told Freddy, be careful with that.
Yep. She gets over it.
Yeah, she gets over it. Squeaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hear
but
a little
squeak.
She
gets down. Yeah.
It's down there, and we're going to see the best zombie in the whole movie.
Yes.
The Tar Man.
Tar Man. And he's and I love how he talks.
And the actor that portrayed him just did this awesome job.
Yeah, of just these gangly movements. Gangly arms and legs mm-hmm, that just mm-hmm. contort themselves. I think it was a matter of that and how it was like hanging the tar fabric clothing off
the
of him.
The face, the tongue that comes out. But I mean he just did the I almost envision it as it almost looked like it was like a marionette kind of thing. Like it didn't look like a real person. Like,
that's exactly it. A marionette.
You know?
And almost skeletal in the face.
Right.
Almost like Creepshow type looking thing. But all slimy and tarry and
putrid.
And he goes, brains.
Brains. And the tongue's all flapping out. And he starts chasing her. And she runs up the steps. Step cracks. Bam.
Fell through the step.
She's hanging on. But he's coming up. It's almost like he's trying not to snap in half.
Right.
Like, oh, I can go a little bit this way. Oh, I got to go a little bit this way.
Yeah, he's a little wobbly.
And it's
like
just,
a marionette. That's
I forgot the name
you know,
of the dude who played him, but you did an awesome job. I love it.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just that gait is so cool.
And his body would just flip and fly.
And when he's coming up the stairs, he's coming up the stairs after she decides to drop down.
And he comes, follows down. He
yeah. She goes like, what? She hides in like a closet or something. She like puts a pipe in the handles to kind of keep them from getting in.
And that's where you find out how smart these things are. I mean,
that was a purposeful thing they wanted to do. They wanted him to be able to think a little bit in this movie.
Yeah, he goes and gets a chain hanging from the ceiling, hooks the
leash or whatever, and
whatever she's in. It's like a locker type thing.
Exactly.
And, you know, he's going to be able to just pull it.
He's going to rip that door right open, get him some brain. Yeah, because it's a... You know, it's like a, you know, you wind it up with a handle. It's
a cool scene how they show him wenching it up and, you know, slowly getting the door off. But then don't
the
rest
of
them, the you know, all the group.
Yeah, they go into the warehouse. They know Freddy's in there. They know Tina went in there.
They
can go in there and get dry.
Yeah.
Hear her scream. They go running down there and see this dude, this tar man. And I think the tar man, like, immediately... Like, they pull the curtain aside. There he is.
And a great scare.
And grabs Suicide. The dude Suicide. And
grabs
just
his head.
And takes a chunk out of his skull.
Mm-mm.
And he's just on the floor. And he's sucking up.
Oh, he's eating brains.
And it was that dude Spider, the black guy. He takes a paint can and throws it. I would have just... Right there.
Oh, I would have. Yes, I would have been out
I'm
of there.
I'm not throwing anything at you.
Nah.
Because that's going to bring his attention to me.
Right.
So.
Which he starts going after them. Yeah.
Right, right. And I love everybody runs, and that black dude, Spider, he's closed the door. He's like, hey, somebody, come over here and help me.
Right, right.
Thing's coming up the steps.
Oh, it's
too
good.
They won't leave him. And it's just so awesome.
Yeah, Tarman, he's that character. It's just so good.
There's
man.
So much personality.
Yes.
And like I said, it's where we first hear brains. You know, everybody knows zombies eat brains.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. And,
cult status.
Right. I mean, they don't even want none of the other body parts. They don't need none. They just want the brain.
Yeah.
And we'll find out why later.
Oh.
But then we zip back to the crematorium. The paramedics show up.
Yep.
And they start examining Freddy and
Freddy. They're asking him what kind, what the, you know, so they're basically
nobody
just saying,
wants to say. Bert
they're saying some kind
say.
Of toxic thing. Though he'll
I don't
call.
Know.
He'll call up later to find out exactly what it is.
I'll have to make some phone calls. I don't know.
Meanwhile, this is where they find out because they're getting no pulse or heart rate,
no blood pressure,
and their room temperature. They're 70 degrees. So they huddle together and basically say,
you know, for lack of a better term, you're dead. It's almost as if you. I mean. And they don't want to believe it. They're like, well, you know, we're not trying to say that. You know, you're there, you're talking, you're whatever. But for they have no vital signs. They have no, their room temperature, like you said. They are dead.
Yes.
And, you know, it's going to get worse and worse as the time goes on. As that all that death and rigor mortis and everything really sets in. So the kids, they split out of the warehouse, Tarman. And they run back to the cemetery.
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't... Well, the car doesn't work. So,
right.
And
they're just trying to
And
stay.
Suicide probably had the keys anyway. So
yeah.
They're screwed.
But that's where they end up... They're all, like, backed
huddled.
Up against a mausoleum type thing.
Right.
And that's where they... They see the skeleton.
Everybody starts popping up out of the grave.
Yeah. But it's first it's just a skeleton.
Right. And I think that was, like, one of the trailer moments of the movie, you know, when the skeleton pops up and... The eyes open and the jaw opens and you hear the music. Do you want a party?
Yeah.
And then all these bodies start crawling out of the grave.
And this is where, like I said, some of the makeup and stuff, they left a little out on some of them. You can see their pink mouths and stuff like
that.
You
figure
fully dressed and skin.
If you're
running
up through the mud, you probably don't need that much makeup.
Right.
So,
I mean, it did take away from it. I mean, it's still great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But oh no, they go for the naked chick.
Yeah, I mean,
she falls down in the mud.
She falls down, and in that moment where she thought how the worst way that she could die, she kind of almost gets that. Yeah, those old guys just grabbing at her. Yeah. And, I guess
she's screaming, but it's how she.
I don't know what they do to her. They must just bite her, and she ends up turning into one of them. She, you know.
Yeah, they had to make
her. I guess they didn't eat all her brain.
Yeah, they had to make her an integral part of this of the zombies because probably because of, you know, her body nakedness and the red hair and
pretty much becomes nakedness.
I think it becomes a cult status even in 3. I know, right? There's another chick with the red hair.
I never saw any other ones.
Okay, we'll have to go and watch 2 and 3 because I'm pretty sure.
I know they're not as good. That's what I hear.
Yeah, it can't be. This is as good as it can be. But
this movie. I mean, really.
No, this is great. But anyways, then we shoot back to the mortuary again.
Yeah, the kids are banging on the door there.
Yeah,
trying to get in.
He pulls out his pistol.
He's got his pistol out, and he opens the door.
Not so mad.
I believe the... You know, everybody's still there, right? Paramedics and everybody, they're still there, right? Yeah. So, you know, the kids are telling them, you know, hey, there's a bunch of dead bodies out there. You know, nobody can believe what's going on.
Oh.
But, you know, the mortuary dude, he already knows about it.
And I love that he's walking around with the holster, the gun.
I know.
And the
one pant leg
cut off. A full red, you know, like dark wine red, you know, shirt and pants, but one pant leg missing. And it's, you know, it's just funny. And the preppy guy and girl run
Casey
back.
And Chuck, they end up getting separated in the cemetery from the others. They don't go to the mortuary.
They run back
back to the warehouse. And that's pretty much where they'll be most of the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
They hide in a closet or something. So the
paramedics go back to their vehicle.
To their ambulance.
Yeah.
And
they hear something.
What's that noise? Let's go investigate. Who's stupid enough to do that? You know, when someone says, hey, what's that noise?
Oh, and that's great.
Oh, here, I'll go check it out.
Right.
You know, who's stupid enough to do
that? And that's the other great zombie scene where when the paramedic hears something and he comes around and opens the back door.
And they're all, ah!
Well, the zombie that he sees behind the door is just a makeup scrape.
Right.
You know. And then, then they all come in and attack them and stuff.
Crappy makeup.
Meanwhile, as loud as it is, the other paramedic's in the front seat doing something, and he goes... and he turns back
certain noise.
Did I hear something? Either you're deaf or, you know, they're not. This is like 6 feet away, the back of the paramedic truck. But yeah, he goes and sees what happens, and he gets it too, you know. So.
Yes, and
the two paramedics are gone.
I know there's one of the little running gags as the zombies are eating the paramedics. One of them gets up.
Well, they hear the speaker. Hello, come on
CB
in.
CB radio.
Yeah,
and another he's like, one of them's just like, send more paramedics.
Yeah, he hears it. These things are smart, man. You come back from the dead, your brain's still functioning. You know,
send more paramedics. It's like a little running gag through the movie.
Yeah, because they'll say it later on. Bring more cops.
Send more cops.
Send more cops. And they do.
So yeah, where's those paramedics at? So the dude goes outside. He's got his pistol. The mortuary guy.
Yeah.
I wish I could.
The mortician. Just call him the mortician.
And this is the part that you're talking about when we said
he closes
the door because he can't find him.
Yeah.
And there's little midget dude.
He's sitting there eating the brains.
I think he doesn't have any legs. Like maybe, I think he just has like maybe a little stump.
I think they used a midget for the scene, but.
I think it's a dude that has no legs. Like maybe little stumps or something.
Oh, you mean like Worm Man or something like the Freak Show?
I think
or
he might
like.
Have like little stumps, but not full legs.
Okay.
Because if you notice when he's running, he actually falls. They keep the scene.
Yeah.
But he falls because he's eating the dude, the paramedic.
Yeah,
brain.
I think you're right. He's just a deformed.
I think there was something wrong with him. I don't think a midget would have just. Are we allowed
to say
midget?
I don't know
if he would have fell like that.
Hey, it's midget
it
dwarf.
Like
I'm not
really
meaning
walk.
Nothing bad by it, but you know what I'm saying. But anyways, yeah.
I'm not trying to hurt him.
No,
but
if any small people are listening,
we don't mean
nothing by saying midget. But anyways, yeah. But I think he's deformed. He got this role because he's the scene is scary as hell. It would give you nightmares.
He's just sitting there eating them. And then he shoots at him. Yeah, he shoots at him, and you know,
and
he runs, and this little dude's chasing him. But
perfect
you can see
scene.
Before they cut, you could see that the guy slips.
Yeah,
the little guy.
Yeah.
So he gets back in the house. I think he calls the cops. gets on the phone. He calls the cops. You know, and they start barricading doors and windows.
Yeah, like Night of the Living Dead. They're all they're all pounding through. And I love how they're all grabbing whatever they can and just hitting them. Hitting the hands coming through and stuff.
Right.
It's not doing nothing. Wham! It's not doing nothing.
I would do the exact same thing.
I don't know. You know,
I would be whacking people's hands. Yeah, I'd get out of here. Go.
Here's a broomstick. Let's hit them.
Isn't it great that these places are... I mean, I don't think I have... These are big, thick wood nails.
Right. Oh,
how many of these do you own? I have nails like bringing pictures of. I don't have any of these big nails.
I know if you need
it, screwed
when you do need it, you'd be running everywhere to find them, and it would take you an hour. Is it in a drawer? Is it in a basement? And where is it? But yeah, they seem to always pick it up right away.
They're these big, you know, they're this long nails. I mean, the guy's got a mortuary. We got tons of them. And I have none. I mean, I'd be pulling them out of the rafters in the basement and they'd all be bent.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, they're screwed. Never there when you need them. No.
I'd be screwed. So they're barricading as good as they can. You know, how many windows you've got in this place, man?
And Tina sees Freddy, and she's like still consoling him, holding him, and crying.
She wants to know what happened.
I mean, she loves him, I guess. So you know, but I think they pretty much knowing that he's going to turn into that. You know,
yeah. I mean,
but she's still there, just tugging him up and stuff. And
what they realize they need to do is that they know that Freddy and Frank are going to turn into one of these.
So things. Yeah, they got to get him somewhere else in a different.
Not kill him. They don't want to kill him. But we got to put you somewhere where you're not going to hurt anybody.
Right.
As I say, they don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want him to hurt anybody.
Let's get you out of the way.
Right. And they look out the window and they see another ambulance is coming because that other zombie said, "Send more paramedics." And I love it.
The mortician's got a little like sliding. You know how you know,
a little
like the club.
Yeah.
Say the password.
Illuminator's club.
Yeah. So he's got that so he can see everything going on outside. Right. The paramedics pull up, the new ones, they get out real quick, and they're like just standing there.
A little bit, and then, because they see the other ambulance, they just
swarm.
All over.
Immediately, as fast as can be.
So hilarious. And yeah, they're still barricading windows, they hear things breaking, and they actually pull one of them in.
Yeah, like they pull it probably apart.
Yeah, they pull it.
Because it's like the head and the torso.
Yeah, and this is a cool part. Yeah, they pull her through, and then he's got a stake. Like, I don't know if it's a wood stake or an axe or something.
Holds it down. But it gets a bite of what's-his-name's head.
Scuzz,
yeah.
So he's
gone, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a good, because it was a huge spurt of blood.
Oh, yeah, they showed it going.
Yeah, that was a good effect. You know, probably had like a bag or something on his face and squirted it from the other end. And
it was good.
That was cool. And, the mortuary guy wants to study her.
Oh, yeah. This is a very cool part of the movie.
I wish what they end up doing is putting her on the exam table and kind of tying her up and going to question her a little bit. And I really wish that maybe this is just the extent of animatronics at the time. Right. I wish the mouth would have moved a little bit better with the
right. Voice. I think, yeah, they
but
just,
other than that, it's great.
The amount of money, but it was good. It was good enough to where I didn't let my daughter watch this.
No, my kids didn't watch this movie.
But I brung her in to see this part of the zombies laying on the table.
Because
it wasn't too gory. It was a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Oh, that is cool."
Yeah,
she goes, "That's not too scary." I go, "Well, this is all you're seeing though, because the rest of it's got adult stuff in it."
Right.
But she got a kick out. But you know, it laying on that table with it tied down,
the spinal column moving.
Yeah, and them asking her questions, and she's
why
going,
"Why do you eat people?
Why do you eat people?" And she
not
goes,
"People.
Yeah, not people. Brains." And then they ask her why brains and
makes the hurting stuff because they can
makes
they
the hurting
can feel
stuff.
Themselves rot.
Yes, they and, can, which is awesome. Yep. These are awesome lines.
I don't know why the brain would make that go away, but maybe there's something in the brain. But yeah, that's just really cool. You know,
the endorphins.
I can feel myself rot, and
if you eat fresh brains, you're going to get a lot of protein, a lot of electrical charges, and so I can see it. Whatever.
I'm getting my electrical charge from Gatorade.
I'm just trying to, put it all together. I like how her hair's kind of like punk rock red.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, blonde and red. Even the zombie corpse half of, you know, it's kind of cool.
And inspired. He's like, man, let me tell you. We're going to get out of here.
I got to talk to you guys.
Come on out here with me. How are we going to get out of here? How are we going to kill them?
Enough questioning that dang corpse zombie.
I love it. He's absolutely right. So how are we going to kill them? There's 8,000 of them out there.
Our only way, I think, is through the vehicles. We got to get to the vehicles.
I mean, the one guy says something about, you know, hey, I've got a crawl space up in the attic there. We could just...
Yeah, later he does say that. Yeah, right. He says that.
And just like the black guy in the original Night of the Living Dead, he's like, I'm not going to barricade myself in there. Right. Nowhere to run.
Right. and this is when they shoot to a classic, part of the big scene.
Nice slow-mo.
Slow-mo. Coming out of the dirt.
Of trash.
All muddy. But naked. And she's got her arms like wrapped around like she's some kind of stripper zombie. So it all worked out for her in the end. Yeah. I mean, you know.
And she kind of got death the way that she wanted. And she got to live a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, so then we go, there's just a bum.
Yeah.
A bum in the neighborhood pushing his shopping cart.
The first other real person we see.
Yeah, really. There's not many other people in this movie. Yeah. And she just comes
walking out of the mist. Rain stopped. Yeah.
The rain has stopped. And it's just mist. And she's just...
Slowly, you see the form of her body. Yeah, man, and she's strutting it back and forth.
Walking like a rattler.
Yes.
And yeah, she comes over and takes a big chunk. I mean, he doesn't think something's wrong. Like, wait a minute.
Oh, he just sees this... naked lady coming.
I mean, she's got a big mouth. And,
oh yeah, she's wearing the hair's like orangish red.
Yeah,
it's even more orange,
I think, than it was before.
And her body's all blue. She's different than all the other zombies.
Yeah, blue. That's right.
It's like somehow she became like a queen zombie or something.
She is. She's the
because she's all like powder blue. Zombie good color.
Queen.
Yeah. Like powder
yeah,
blue.
She
you
took
know.
A big chunk out of his head.
Yeah, I loved
his
it.
His brain.
But oh, and then they go back to the warehouse and the two preppy.
Oh, Chuck and Casey.
Chuck and Casey, and I love how Casey's crying, and she goes, "You know what? I really don't like you at all. But hold me, you know." And it's just like,
he's thinking, "I'll take what I can get."
Right? He doesn't care.
And the whole time, you know, he's thinking, "Maybe I can work this into a way to get some."
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, that's what I would.
Meanwhile, they're sweating to death too. But,
I know.
Yeah, but anyways.
Yeah, Frank and Freddy.
They get back to the mortuary again.
They're dying. I mean, basically.
Oh yeah, they're shivering.
The rigor mortis thing is death.
Yeah, I think the mortician even said, "I think rigor mortis is setting into their bodies."
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because they even they sit Freddy up,
and their hands start like contorting,
right.
and bending and stuff,
and it's all bruised, and that's like when
the blood is pooling up on
the body, and
even though they're not laying on the back.
Well, no, but he was.
The pool should be pulling in their butt.
I guess,
but we don't want a bloody butt.
So they decided to put them in the chapel.
Yeah,
that's like the one place where they.
And I love how they're carrying Frank, and Frank's still going. Aah! You know,
it's
making
called Wee Chapel of the Dawn. And they're going to put them in there and lock them up in there and hopefully keep them safe.
Yeah.
But Tina will not leave Freddy. You know, she's like, I'm going to stay with him.
Right.
Stupid. Stupid. Yeah. I mean, you know what's going to happen. You see
I love you, man, but you can eat my brains later. Right. You know, she don't really know, I guess. She's just in hysterics.
I think next the cops show up.
Because the cops do. They eventually get here too.
Two cops come in.
It's the same scene.
Exactly.
I think they look out the window and they go, "Up, oh, here we go again."
Two bambalances.
It's a bambalance.
And
two coppers.
Got the gun up, sneaking around.
Yep.
And it don't take long. I think they see. I got a man down over here. Man down. And I think it's one of the paramedics. I think.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Another brain-eating scene.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, no, this one, the brains
it's
just flow out.
The brain is oozing out of his skull.
Disgusting
scene. They didn't even eat them all. They didn't finish their meal.
I do love that they got the plastic on their
caps. Yeah.
Just so that it doesn't get wet from the rain and the drizzle.
Uniform, you know? And in the meantime, Bert, the mortuary fella, and Spider, they're just watching out the window.
Oh, it's become a movie for them.
Yeah,
they're not even hollering out, "Hey, watch
out!"
No, they're just watching going...
Oh, because those cops had no chance. I mean, they start popping off rounds, but yeah, they...
And that's when
fast.
The zombie says, "Send more cops."
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's a different zombie. And it's just, "Send more cops."
That's when
it gets me every time.
You know what? Yeah, and their facial expression as they're saying it and they're holding it.
Simple cops.
If you didn't see this movie, watch it over and over again.
Over and over.
Yeah, have a party.
Put it on loop.
Put it on loop and keep running it all night. That's not a bad idea. But we gotta have a zombie party.
Yeah.
We'll run it all day long and
all day long.
Halloween is gonna be killer. Can't wait. But yeah, what do we? That's when he does point about the we can hide out up in the attic.
Yeah, he mentions that, and he's got a little jar of some kind of acid he brings out. And I think it's like, well, that ain't enough for all of them,
right?
But you know, it's something.
It's something,
and they're gonna end up using it on Freddy later on, I think, if I remember.
Well, yeah. Then they pan back to where the chapel of the dawn, whatever. Yeah. And she's all over. Tina's sitting there with Freddy, and Freddy actually. He's transformed completely, right. I guess, died.
And I like
completely.
He says, it hurts more than you can imagine. And he's like, you know, the only thing that can make it better. And then it all turns slow motion. Like,
slow mo fast
your
kind
brain.
Of stuff. And that's when he's like foaming it. Oh, he's just bacon sodas just, all in his mouth.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
Foaming. And
so
they hear.
So she's fighting him off. The other guys hear the commotion. They come in there. I think Bert takes a pipe and just belts him across the chops.
Oh, he probably a good times. Baseball player in the
you
day,
know,
man.
He's awesome in this movie, man.
He's
he
swinging
really
it,
get
man.
It going.
Yeah.
Spider takes the sledgehammer.
Yeah, he's got the
he
sledgehammer.
Whacks him on the head. I mean,
Spider's got a pretty big role in here too, as he's taking care of business with Bert.
Yeah, you know, usually in these
right alongside
the black guy
Bert
first, and then he sticks around.
Yeah.
And that's when they take the more.
I think it's
because
he looked like Rick James. I think he had something to do with the movie.
Man.
But anyways,
I think that long hair look is cool.
Yeah, I love that Jerry Crow stuff down to their shoulders, man.
So he takes that acid, throws it right in Freddy's face, and it's going to end up blinding him.
Yeah, and it's
melting his eyes.
Big burning.
Right.
You know.
So they get Tina out of there, and they just all freak. What are they going to do now? But remember, in the commotion, in the back of the chapel, we see Frank kind of just get up and walk out.
Yeah,
he
does.
Gets up and gets out of there. We don't see what happens.
Nobody says nothing, and it is a quick notice.
Right.
You know.
Right. If you're not really
so, if you turn, if you turn your head real quick, you miss that scene.
You know,
what happened to What happened to Frank? Yeah, but then they're running back because they hear the front doors, you know, clanking the doorknobs, and
they're screwed. Totally screwed.
Oh my God!
Because they're busting through the door now.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, okay, here, let's just set this bench in front of the door. Ain't gonna help. I mean, you do what you can in these situations.
Freddy, right?
What?
That's Freddy trying to break through.
Through the chapel door.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's busting through the chapel door.
Right.
And how did that mortuary guy break his foot? I know he broke his foot. Did he just fall?
Must have been in the commotion.
I think he
just
fell and broke his foot. So he's pretty much useless now. Tina's on the couch crying. She's pretty much useless. So you pretty much just got Spider and Bert now to save the day, you know, because the mortuary guy's like, I'm not going anywhere with this leg.
Yeah, and he's breathing heavy, so almost hurt him, you know, and all
right.
that. Yeah. So, and I think they, Freddy breaks out of the chapel.
Right. I mean, the room that they're in, this examination room, whatever, I mean, it is locked, but, you know, and he's blind. So, really, they're thinking, you know, the only thing we can do, we got to get to one of those vehicles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not going to get anywhere staying
right.
here.
Right, Bert and Spider say, that's what we got to do.
Right,
so.
We got to get to one of those cars, and, you know, Spider's like, I'll drive. And he's like, no, I'm driving. You know, fuck you, I'm driving. But, yeah, they got to, you know, the idea is to go grab one of these cars, probably the cop cars, because the keys are still in there.
And go get help.
And drive up to the door, get the
Tina
and the mortuary guy in the car.
That's right.
This ain't gonna work.
No.
It never works.
Too many zombies swarming the vehicle.
Well, right. As soon as they make it to the car.
Right.
You know, they fight their way to the car. You know, whacking heads, swinging sledgehammers, pipes and stuff. That's what you need. A good blunt object.
Oh, yeah.
Or a flamethrower.
Flamethrower
might have done the trick.
You would have thought that would have been sitting around somewhere, but it wasn't.
You know, they got all these big long nails this long. Maybe they had a flamethrower. Or, you know, make some Molotov cocktail bombs and create a path. But they make it to the cop car, but they can't even get to the door of the mortuary because, I mean, there's about 23 zombies all over the top of the car by the time they get to it. So
they try to.
She opens it, she looks, she closes the door right away, and the only thing they can do is back up and try to drive away, you know, and go get help. They don't intend to leave them. I mean, I know when when they leave, you know, Tina's looking, they're leaving us, they're leaving us. And the mortuary fella says, you know, they have to.
Yeah.
You know,
they had no choice, right, you know.
There's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
They don't get very far.
Yeah. No, not at all. Car. Yeah.
Because as soon as they get on the road, there's like an army of them.
Yeah, there's more coming straight up. Yeah.
And I think this is where they decide, back in the mortuary, they're going to hide up in that crawl space.
This is where he's starting to act a little psychotic himself. He's like shaking and...
Yeah.
Like very nervous, and his face is... You know, I don't know if it's the pain of his foot or if he's just kind of starting to lose it now.
I can see it both ways.
So, yeah. So he does try to get, you know, Tina back up in there. But
right.
Meanwhile, that crowd of zombies that gets the police car...
He's like, immediately puts it in reverse.
Reverse. Head back towards the warehouse.
Right, but and then all he ends up doing is just like crashing into the wall of the warehouse. Just bam, totaled it.
And the car was either going to blow up or something and catch on fire. But yeah.
But before we find out what happens to them, we find out what Frank's plan was. He snuck out. You know, in those last moments of him being human, he goes to the crematorium.
Right.
And from what I understand, from what I was looking up. I think the actor that played Frank was just getting tired because this was a hard shoot. They did it at night. It was raining all the time. They were cold. And, you know, I think I read something or saw something where he said, you know, I've got arthritis and this just was no good for me. So he had the idea of how about I just burn myself to get him out of standing around in the rain.
Wow.
You know, kind of like in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, where the best scene, you know, where he takes his gun and just shoots the guy.
Yeah.
He did that because he had the flu. And he felt like crap. And there was supposed to be a whole big fight scene. But he felt really crappy that day. And he said, how do I just pull up my gun and shoot him? And it became this, you know, memorable scene.
Isn't that unbelievable?
So, yeah. But,
and Frank, this became kind of a really cool scene.
Frank...
He's like kneeling in front of the furnace. Yeah,
his prayer, takes his wedding band off.
And
puts it on the, you know, little switch there. Crawls in. You know, flips the flames on and pushes it up in. And, screams, and he's all burnt up.
Yep. Meanwhile, it's raining, so anything he's burning up, too, should be going in the air and spreading, too.
Same thing. The car crashes. Remember you said the car crashed into the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Spider and Burke get out. They run back. And all they do is run from the warehouse to the cemetery. From the cemetery to the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
But they're back in there, and they find Casey and Chuck. You know, kind of, you know, because they kept saying, are we going to get rescued? And they're not really rescued, but, you know, they're not alone anymore.
No. Yeah, because they see what? They see the helicopter and more cop cars and stuff like that.
Yeah, more police cars are pulling into that. It's like a bottleneck, though. You know, they pull into the, you know, where the mortuary is, and just the zombies are just going to keep coming after them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I like how in the... Back at the mortuary, you know, Freddy's just walking around. He goes, Tina! He can't see, but he's like, I can smell your brain.
I can smell your brain.
And they're up in that attic, and he's got it wedged with a big 2x4 or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, Freddy's up there. Somehow he managed
to... It's a 2x6.
It's a 2x6.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit longer. And, yeah, he's banging up there, banging up there. And I get the feeling when... The mortuary fellow, I feel so horrible that I can't remember.
It's all right. We can't remember
everything. But he pulls his gun, and I almost wonder, like, if he was going to, like, do them both.
Yeah, because he pulls it up to Tina's head. Because
he's holding her real close, holding her head, and he's looking at her, and he just brings the gun over like this. And I just got the feeling like he was going to, you know, let her out.
Right.
That's how I got it.
Yeah, he acted very, something was going on with him. He lost it, man. I don't know.
And, well, back in the warehouse, they're going to take care of the tar man.
Right.
And what they needed to get down into the basement. I think they were finally going to call the army.
Yeah.
They needed to get that phone number off the drum. And that's the only place where there was a phone that worked.
Yeah.
So they open the door. Tar man comes up there. And I love it.
Great scene. Like a baseball.
He knocks his head clean off.
Yeah. He hits it. Nickel's flying.
Yep. Like a Killer Clowns with the boxing. You know,
just boom, goes flying, right, man.
And they get downstairs, and it's all the, you know, what's his
Tari,
name?
Suicide
is down there.
Yeah.
And they call the army.
Eating brains, eating stuff.
Eating them brains. And he gets up on the phone, calls that army number, and, you know, the jig is up, you know. Because, like, the number is like, you know, where are you? You know, who is this? And
allows him to give all the information.
Right.
To, you know, what's going on and all that. And, he does that.
Oh, excuse me, though. doesn't he first calls the cops again, I think. Because
yeah.
Because there's a bunch of cops cordoning off the whole area. Excuse me, I misspoke.
Right. And,
like the chief gets on there. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, we don't know a darn thing. You know,
what's and Bert's the one kind of explaining what's going on, and then they call the army.
Right.
Then they call the army. Right. The member on the drum.
And meanwhile, all those zombies
come tearing
in all the cops. You know, mm-hmm. So you know they've had it because there's no stopping them. So.
And I love it. You know, even though they're taken out, the bullets do nothing.
Right.
Yeah, they're all coming through, and it's a smorgasbord.
And the naked
zombie. Yeah, naked running. Zombie comes over there and
she grabs the head.
Yeah, I mean, and she's got the biggest mouth, like vicious. And
she's almost all white with a bright red hair, almost like a clown itself.
Yeah, where she was kind of blue before. Now she's all this pale white in this end.
Very strange, man.
Oh, I know. And we're pretty much, you know, coming up on the tail end here. Yeah. So they call the army, and the general who we saw at the beginning, or colonel, whatever he was, he gets on the phone once he's got this information that, you know, the drums have been located.
Yep.
And he gives this young fella some coordinates.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, like, right, we get back to the scene where the mortuary guy and Tina are in the attic, and Freddy gets through, the thing bursts open,
mm-hmm.
and it's a nuke. They fry them with that. That's because they kept saying, because Bert was saying, you know, they've got some kind of contingency plan with this. It's like they expected this to happen. That's the contingency plan. We're just going to wipe them off the
It's
face
so funny. After all of this, wondering if who's going to survive, who's going to be the hero and stuff like that. And basically, they just nuke the town.
Yep. Right. I mean, just...
Ending to the movie. Nuke the town.
And even then, it doesn't stop them because, you know, then it rains again.
Right. They think that it does. That I mean,
same
you know.
Scene where the skeleton pops up from the trailer there. It
ends the movie like that. Yeah.
And then I love how the end credits play over, like, some of the, you know, highlights of the movie, which is kind of cool. So, I mean, just, like, final thoughts, you know, out of it. Like I said, out of every zombie movie I've ever seen, this is the best one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is different than any of that. Like, Walking Dead's awesome. I love Dawn of the Dead. I love Day of the Dead. I think I like them in a different dramatic way. But
maybe.
When you come to just, yeah, pure...
Which one could you watch more often? Return?
No, this one, yeah. I mean, Frank and... Frank alone made this movie awesome with the way he acted. Right. But they all just... Yeah, I mean, it was just a great
movie.
This
movie's got the reputation for a very good reason.
Exactly.
It's a perfect mix. It was just a perfect storm of things that came together. You had your comedy, your gore and effects. You had some good scares.
Yeah.
And you just had these interesting actors. Like I said, a mix of old school and fresh faces.
Yep.
And you had some cool music and some cool songs mixed in.
Yep.
And, you know, it just took everybody by surprise. It's probably not what people were expecting when it came out. It's just, it's awesome. And I think all the people that were involved, even the old-time actors, you know, I've seen some interviews where they said they just love the work that they did on this movie. And they love
for 1985, I mean, it was just great. I mean...
Right.
Yeah, everything about it.
Right, and this is there with, like, you know, what other comedy horror movies have we done? We did, you know, did Killer Clowns, Monster Squad.
Yeah.
This one's probably a little bit more like a Evil Dead 2, maybe. You know, maybe is what I would compare this to. But, you know, it's an awesome movie. You know, unfortunately, it's been, you know, some of the songs have been compromised a little bit. I think maybe in other countries you can get the original version. I don't remember it from when it first came out to know... always what songs are missing or what songs have been, you know, messed with. But I love this movie. I haven't seen it in a long time, and I'm definitely going to watch it again soon. Because, like I said, I'm 40 now, and kind of I know what I like, and this is what I like. So, I like my old movies, and I like stuff with a lot of cool practical effects, and this is definitely it.
Yeah. Zombies all the way, man, and this is good. And which brings us to, I think, our next week, I think we'll do Reanimator.
We've already talked about it, so
I think
one of
Reanimator.
My favorites. I've been wanting to do this one.
This is a definite, so watch it, and listen along with us, and watch along with us next week.
So
man.
It's already announced, Reanimator, do your homework, and we'll be talking about that next week. One of my favorites, I'm a big H.P. Lovecraft fan, and I love...
It's another
good
one,
a lot of good H.P. Lovecraft movies, but this is probably the best one.
Yeah.
So.
This isn't... we'll see. Because it's been a while since I watched it. I don't think it's this, like, comedy horror, but it's more dramatic. I mean, it's a horror movie.
I don't think it's anything. There's funny parts in it,
okay.
But I think it's more straight up horror movie. There's just some parts that are just so over the top. They're funny.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. That's for sure.
Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton. I had a crush on you so long ago. So
funny.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah. Let me just say too, man. Give us ratings and feedback on iTunes. I asked you to last week and you did. So yeah. We got a couple more. I would appreciate anybody. Yeah, the blob was big numbers, man. So
I picked that one.
This should get good too. Zombies are. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah. I mean, www.thelittlemonstersmoviepodcast.com. That's all you need to know, because the links from there are everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, but what the heck, Ted?
What?
Did you hear something?
I did.
I think it was over there.
Check it out?
Yeah, what the heck, man?
Check this out. Excuse me, guys. Check this out. Something going on.
Something's... Is it back in the other room?
Yeah. Oh, my God! Oh, my God!